The online communities, I think, is a core of what happens at NHPCO. That's where you find out what's actually happening, what the pain points are, what the victories are.
Hi, I'm Christine Shaw, CEO and President of Naylor Association Solutions, and I'm your host of the Association Advisor Podcast. We'll learn from successful association executives, partners, and clients on how to grow membership engagement and non-dues revenue to create a thriving, prosperous, and value-driven association. I invite you to join me in keeping informed and, most importantly, keeping your association profitable. Our goal is to leave you feeling inspired, more confident, and more knowledgeable. This is the Association Advisor Podcast. Hi, and welcome back to the Association Advisor Podcast, brought to you by Naylor Association Solutions. I'm your host, Christine Shaw. Today, we're talking with Jennifer McLennan, Manager of Business Strategy at the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization. Jennifer will share with us how she's worked to build strong corporate partnerships that keep NHPCO's mission of delivering person-centric healthcare at its heart. We'll also explore how leading a team in a compassionate and empowering way can maximize the success of your association. Jennifer shares how her background in nursing, specifically hospice and palliative care, informs and impacts her work today with the association. Together, we'll learn how Jennifer intertwines her role as an impassioned healthcare leader with her strategic business acumen to move the association and its mission forward. I cannot wait to get started, so let's dive right in. Welcome, Jennifer. I am so excited to have you here as a guest today on the Association Advisor Podcast.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about your experience. So you are a nurse, specifically with a background in hospice and palliative care, oncology, and patient services. I'd love for you to start by sharing with our listeners a little bit about how your journey in healthcare began and why you do the work you do.
Well, it was actually a second career. So I took the scenic route to get to this side, but it was a lovely experience and I'm the better for it. So I always had a nursing heart when I reflect back. So it just finally came to fruition.
Yeah, you know, I love that you said a nurse's heart. I have two nieces who are a nurse. And while my sister is not a nurse, she had to provide that sort of care for my mother when she was diagnosed and later died with cancer. So I totally relate. And it does. It takes a special person to really be able to lean into the art of caregiving. And that's the most difficult time in a patient and their family's life. It's a really challenging experience, I know, from my own personal situation. So what inspired you personally or motivated you to go in that direction?
I think it was life experiences. I come from a large extended family, wide range of ages, and I was not sheltered from illnesses and death. So I was in hospitals and nursing homes and funeral homes as far back as I can remember.
Wow.
So that kind of influenced it. And then just personal illnesses that happened in the family.
Yeah,
I wanted to be part of that journey of health or the journey of transition.
Well, thank you for sharing that. But a few years ago, you also made a different transition to the association side. So your current role with NHPCO is a little bit different than being an actual nurse. So how did your nursing and patient care experience help you see a different perspective in terms of the association structure, its services, and support for members?
Well, I had firsthand knowledge because I was in their shoes. I spent time as a hospice nurse and spent even more time developing other nurses in their practice in palliative care. But as I said, nursing was a second career. My previous career was account management and sales training.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was a way to combine both worlds. Also, I was forward thinking with my immediate family that I needed the flexibility to, if I needed to travel to take care of them, I could do so in a remote role. And this opportunity gave me the space to do that and still be able to influence hospice and palliative care across the country.
So first of all, it's a really impressive and unique background because you have sales and marketing and that experience combined with being an actual nurse specific to hospice care. Now you find yourself in this association that allows you to take all those skills and life journey and put it into really purpose-driven work. So It's incredible. I'm really in awe of what you're doing and the work that these associations do as well. So let's talk a little bit about your role at NHPCO. So since joining the association, you've made it a top priority to strengthen partner and sponsorship relationships. Tell us about some of those successes and the why and some of the results from that.
Well, I want to provide the best resources to the front line and the leadership supporting them across the country. So how do we do that? NHPCO doesn't have all the expertise. We need to rely on those others that provide those products and services that make things happen to come along with us. So relationship building has been the center of who I am, regardless of what hat I'm wearing, whether it's personally or professionally. So I made it a goal to make sure that I was keeping in touch with our partners that we had. At the time of coming on, we had three core partners that have been with us for quite some time. And in that first year, we were able to grow it to seven.
Wow.
So I was surprised, you know, because I was just keeping my head down and focusing on how we could diversify. And would I have wanted more? Yes. But I think we have a good core seven that we're working with and can build upon.
That's fantastic. And so obviously you put a lot of care and thought into that and creating the correct or the appropriate partnerships. Sometimes associations might get those partnerships wrong. So what do you think some of the pitfalls are to look out for in partnerships that wouldn't necessarily work versus what you're doing?
Well, it's kind of like this. You interview each other. What are your goals? So when I'm talking to new businesses, which is so exciting to do, there's so much great things happening in the world. What are they looking to achieve? Okay. And because of my background in sales, I can kind of weave through what's happening and what they're really looking to achieve to see if it aligns with our mission and purpose. And I don't do it alone. When there's questions, we actually have a vetting process that we go through with our senior leadership to see, is this a match for us or not? But we haven't had to use that very much because there's just a lot of good players out there.
That's amazing. It's great to hear that. And I'm glad you're having that success in building the partnerships from three to seven. That's, again, very impressive. So it shows that your process in bringing in voices throughout the association really works to cultivate those strong partnerships and relationships. So that's fantastic. We also learn from you that you take a very collaborative and a compassionate approach when it comes to motivating your team. You know, I've learned from my own experience that empathy is a skill that is a requirement now in leadership roles. So talk a little bit about your style of leadership and how you feel that helps empower others and move them forward towards meaningful success.
Well, experiences is what shapes us, and we all come from different experiences, and we have to remember that. So my goal is to seek to understand, then to instruct or correct, and then the evolution of improvement kind of follows. So it's a coaching strategy that I use. I love being able to sit back and mentor someone because I can see all the great things that personally what we do, we criticize and that comes to the forefront. We see our flaws, but being able to have that other person to come and see the greatness in you, and then that inspires them to move even further.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, some of the things like we are practicing and in skills we're building in our own environment at Naylor is listening without assumption or judgment. And it's really hard to do. And I like seek to understand because you also have to listen to understand versus listen to respond or defend. And that takes practice, you know, it really, really does. So do you feel that in this transformation or bring that leadership that it's having a direct impact on your success and how the teams are working together in the association?
Yes, because we're all coming from this from different angles, but we also have to remember, like you've said before, we're all human beings and have all these other external things that are coming at us, just to have that extra layer of passion, compassion when you're dealing with people.
Yeah. And, you know, you started off by saying you've always had a nurse's heart. And I think that having that role allows you to bring heart to leadership. And it's something even myself, I think about my own journey in leadership. And if you haven't worked in an environment like you have as a nurse and providing that patient care, it doesn't mean you can't do it. You just have to work a little bit harder. But you're a great example of how having that has had a positive and good impact on the association and your leadership outcomes. So I really appreciate being vulnerable enough to share that, because often we're taught as leaders, you shouldn't talk about that stuff, right? Talk about the business and the facts and the results, but that's all part of how you get those results. You know, Jennifer, I just want to talk a little bit with you, if you don't mind, your experience with non-dues revenue for your association, or how that helps. What kinds of things do you see that helping your association to do?
It helps us to get the word out and resources. We do that through webinars, also the conferences. We have two conferences that we take place. So I think that's the key thing. A core thing that I always bring up, I know we talked about the partners, but we also have vendors that become members of us that are very special to us that contribute. And the online communities, I think, is a core of what happens at NHPCO. That's where you find out what's actually happening, what the pain points are, what the victories are. And I highly encourage our associate members, our vendors, our partners to be a part of that, and they benefit from it.
That's really good advice for people listening, because I think sometimes the idea is intimidating of taking on some of these projects. And there's also, I think, a misperception about generating revenue is not what an association should be doing because it's based on nonprofit work. However, that revenue outside membership revenue allows you to continue to expand the membership and your offerings and the value you're creating. And so that's one of our passions, is getting associations to understand it's a fantastic thing to do. And it really does help to strengthen the membership of your association and provide value-added services. Even if you're attending a conference, as you spoke about, it's great learning opportunities. Webinars are fantastic. And to your point, where you have great partnerships and vendors who are all part of your ecosystem, it helps bring all that together. So I'm glad you're sharing that experience and you've had some positive results with that, especially on the partnership thing. I think that's a real great takeaway for listeners, that partnerships matter, and the approach in which you take to identify and select your partnerships is really important. And, you know, the other thing you touched upon is looking at vendors as an extension of that, not just vendors, right? Because technically on the PO system, it's a vendor. But I always like to say you should be part of the team. It should be an extension of the team. And it takes time to build that trust and that relationship. But vendors typically can do a lot more and have more meaningful impact when they're treated as a partner versus a vendor. So again, that comes from your nurse's heart approach of relationship building, as opposed to just looking at it from a straight business relationship. So that's great. Well, you've shared a lot of great examples of what you're doing in your association and some of your experiences. And again, I really have a lot of respect for the work the association you have done personally, because I've experienced some of that. You don't know you need it until you actually need it. It's like most people have never heard of palliative care or hospice. Not that they haven't heard of hospice, but they don't even think about it until all of a sudden you're faced with that moment in life where you do have to think about it. So it's a really unbelievable purpose-driven work that you and the association do, and we thank you for that. So Jennifer, I'd like to also ask you, do you have any books that you can recommend for people out there to continue learning from this episode?
I have one, but my tagline for my LinkedIn account is I'm a palliative care change agent. So, you know, the connotations around palliative care are not always positive, but what I've tried to provide to people that I interact with, patients, as well as clinicians, is that it's really, well, as a nurse, I would say it was nursing care. But as clinicians as a whole, it's healthcare, because we're taking care of the whole individual at the time of serious illness, because it affects every aspect of your life.
Again, I can tell you, like, I had never heard the term palliative care till we needed it for my mom. And the first encounter, we were almost like angry. Like you're full with this anger that you even have to. And it's like, you look at that person as almost like something the enemy bringing in, but it's really not that, because what we realized in the process, it is the holistic. It's everything that the family's going through, the patient's going through, the whole thing, soup to nuts. So I love that your tagline is a change agent for palliative care, because at some point, unfortunately, we may all need to access that. So it might as well be some good awareness of how that can be a positive experience for both the patient and the family.
Yes, thank you.
Great. And so in terms of what you would recommend to read, yeah.
Well, what I need to go back and read again. I even made notes on each chapter. It's an oldie but goodie. The third edition came out a few years ago, Crucial Conversations. Oh, yeah. Tools for Talking When Stakes Are High. Don't be deceived by the title. It's really about communicating clearly, taking away those ugly stories that we tell ourselves about what's happening with the other person, and focusing on the issues. And it just is a nice guide, professionally and personally. And I've had some challenges recently where I'm like, oh, I need to fill my toolbox again. So let me go back and revisit that. So I wanted to share that.
I'm glad you did, because, you know, as I shared, we're going through an exercise of reading some skill building. And to your point, it's a tool. And sometimes if you're not using that tool, if you didn't have a need, you have to get that back out and sharpen it up again. And it's okay to do that, right? It's not only is it okay, but you're going to have a much better outcome than if you keep just telling yourself a narrative that might not align, but you're stuck in that voice in your head. So great, great advice. And I'm actually going to take a look at that book as well, because I think that could be helpful. So I really appreciate you being on here today. If people want to get in touch or follow you, could you share how to do that?
Well, I'm on LinkedIn. That's my social media piece. I can also be found through NHPCO.
Great. Well, I personally am going to make sure to follow you, and I'm very passionate about the work you do and encouraged by our conversation. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Association Advisor Podcast, brought to you by Naylor Association Solutions. If you'd like to access more resources to serve your association needs or join our newsletter, you can visit our website at naylor.com or just click the links in the show notes of this episode. Please be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast listening app, like Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to your podcasts, so you won't miss an episode. Also, I'd love to hear from my listeners directly. Feel free to email me at christine@naylor.com. Until next time, we at Naylor are wishing your association success.